You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now, on today's show, we're going to talk about the number four biggest disappointment of the 2021 season, Brandon Nimmo, and that never-ending string of injuries. In the first segment, I want to talk about his season in 2021. How Nimmo was great when he was on the field, but once again, did not play 100 games in a season due to those injuries. In the second segment, I want to talk about Nimmo's career and where he ranks among other outfielders since 2017, how he really has been one of the best players in baseball when he's on the field. And then in the last segment, we'll talk about just that, the fact that he cannot stay on the field and what that means for the Mets moving forward as they try to figure out what they should do in 2022 and beyond, especially considering the fact that Nimmo will be a free agent after next season. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. So you go to this season for Nimmo, and among all Mets position players, Brandon Nimmo was the most valuable with a 3.5 F4. I mean, that's more valuable than Pete Alonso, who was on the field pretty much all year, Francisco Lindor, who played more games than Nimmo. You go down the line, Brandon Nimmo was the Mets' best player this year outside of maybe Marcus Stroman and, of course, Jacob deGrom when he was on the mound, but he, too, dealt with those injuries. You go to Javier Baez. He was the only Met that had a higher WRC plus than Brandon Nimmo this year. And WRC plus, which we talk about a lot in this show, is weighted runs created plus, which measures league hitters based on an average of 100. So this year, Brandon Nimmo had a 137 WRC+. That means he was 37% better than your average hitter. Javier Baez was at 143 with the Mets, but again, that's a small sample size just coming after the trade deadline. So you look at what Brandon Nimmo did, and by every metric, again, the best position player the Mets had this year. This is a guy that has gotten on base at a 400 clip in three of the last 4 years. The only year he didn't was 2019, where he had that neck injury that he tried to play through, had terrible results, came back in September, and was great once he was finally healthy. If this guy's healthy, he's getting on base at a 400 clip. He's actually suddenly turned himself into a solid defensive outfielder. We didn't see that coming. Maybe Nimmo as a good left fielder, but in center, no one thought he'd be above average. This year, he was worth four outs above average and four defensive runs saved. Both metrics, great amount, as well above average. He was in the 89th percentile in outs above average this year. His sprint speed in the 92nd percentile. The guy's athletic. He can play center. He's the perfect leadoff hitter. And the problem continues to be the injuries. If you go through this season for Brandon Nimmo, during that first month of the year, he was the only part of the lineup that worked. Literally, the only hitter that was meeting expectations, hit 358, 463 on base, 537 slugging percentage. He was well on his way to an all-star season. Ends up dealing with that injury, the finger, which keeps him out all of May, all of June, comes back in July, wasn't still that same player he was in the first month in July and August, but he was still getting on base a ton, playing good defense or defense out in center field. He was good, but who knows what season he could have had if he never got hurt and he carried that momentum from the first month of the season all the way through. I don't think he would have hit 358 the whole year. I don't know if he would have contended for a batting title, but would he have been well over 400 when it comes to the on-base percentage? Absolutely. He still was over 400 with that on-base percentage, but again, the numbers did dip after that first month and after the injury, more importantly. You look at September. The Mets desperately needed everybody at that point, all hands on deck. Once again, he goes down with an injury, a hamstring, keeps him out for 2 weeks. By the time he comes back, season's basically over. Brandon Nimmo could be the best player on the Mets in a full year if he stayed healthy. In 2018, he was the best player on the Mets. This guy is in some respects underrated, yet in other respects, you just can't even evaluate him. And that's where we are with Brandon Nimmo. Because as much as I want to go into next year and say, look, center field's locked up. You just got to improve left. You got to improve right. You got to figure out those corners around Nimmo, but your center fielder's there. You know what? Sign the guy to an extension. He's fantastic. He gets on base. Homegrown guy is out there every single day grinding, running out walks. He's awesome. Fan favorite. Whatever you want to say about Brandon Nimmo, the healthy version. But time and again, these injuries pop up. And the crazy thing is, it's not the same injury. It's not always a hamstring, although that has been the injury that's popped up more than others. It's not always his neck. That was more just that one season in 2019. This year, it was the finger. Even he had a hip injury that didn't even put him on the IL, but it was something he had to work through that he was day-to-day on. So many different injuries pop up. And at a certain point, you wonder, is it just bad luck? Is this a guy that is going to enjoy a 3 to 4 year run at some point in his career where he's going to be healthy? And is that just destined to be when he's no longer on the Mets, right? As soon as he signs elsewhere, suddenly is he going to find some fountain of not even youth, but health that's going to keep him on the field? I don't know. But Brandon Nimmo has been a great player for the Mets. They just have to figure out what to do with him moving forward because of those constant questions about whether he can stay in the lineup. What I want to do in the next segment, though, is compare Brandon Nimmo to the best hitters in baseball because where he stacks up in some of these advanced metrics may shock you. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching your sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logging for the other good stuff you're missing? Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So we all know 2018 was Brandon Nimmo's breakout year, but 2017 is really when he became a full member of the Mets, played 69 games, ended up being hurt at the beginning of the year, no shock there, but he at least put together a big enough sample size where he was a big leaguer. So I went back to 2017. From 2017 through 2021, I wanted to see where Brandon Nimmo ranks among all of the best hitters in baseball, and really the best outfielders in baseball. So if you go, again, since 2017, with a minimum of 1,500 plate appearances, where do you think Brandon Nimmo stacks up when it comes to WRC+, which, again, is a metric that measures hitters based on a league average of 100? Right now, it is Fangraph's top metric that everyone goes to analyze how good a hitter is. Since 2017, Brandon Nimmo comes 11th among all outfielders. Here are the names ahead of him. Mike Trout, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Bryce Harper, JD Martinez, Giancarlo Stanton, Ronald Acuna Jr., Mookie Betts, Christian Yelich, and George Springer. Then you have Brandon Nimmo. You might not think he belongs in that class, and he certainly won't be regarded in that class until he can stay healthy and be an all-star, and maybe an all-star a couple of times. But when it comes to Brandon Nimmo standing in a batter's box, he is almost as valuable as some of the most valuable hitters in baseball and some of the biggest stars in baseball. He's ahead of guys like Chris Bryant, Cody Bellinger, Michael Brantley, and others. Michael Conforto, another one where Brandon Nimmo has a higher WRC plus in 2017 than his teammate, or maybe now his former teammate. You go to his walk percentage. At 15.2, he is tied for sixth among all hitters in baseball, not just outfielders. He's tied for sixth with Max Muncy. Ahead of him, you have Mike Trout, Juan Soto, Bryce Harper, Joey Votto, and Yasmani Grandal. And he is sixth in on-base percentage behind Trout, Soto, Harper, Votto, and Freeman. If you go to 2018 and you take out his 2017 season where he was good, not great, he is tied with Freeman. And then you have Trout, Soto, and Harper as the only ones ahead of him when it comes to his on-base percentage. Fourth in all of baseball, tied with Freddie Freeman. And we know how good Freddie Freeman is. You want to go to the outs above average. You want to go to all of the different defensive metrics and the offensive metrics that are advanced, WRC+, expected WOBA, expected batting average, all that stuff this past season. Brandon Nimmo grades out very favorably. I already mentioned the four outs above average, the 89th percentile and outs above average. You go to his chase rate. He was in the 100th percentile, best in baseball when it comes to not chasing pitches. Walk percentage, 96th percentile. As I said before, the sprint speed, 92nd percentile. The guy is one of the best players in baseball. And if he were to ever stay healthy, he would get that kind of recognition. When they do the top 10s for MLB Network going into a season, the top 10 at each position right now. Last year, I believe he came in at 6th. Or maybe it was 8th. I can't recall exactly, but he was a top 10 center fielder last year. And again, this season would only back that up because he didn't have a full year like this year when it came to the defense where people would regard him as a above average defensive center fielder. So that's now part of his game moving forward. You can only dream of what this guy could do. I mean, when you talk about what Michael Conforto was supposed to be, and the power is different. They're different players. But this is the type of cornerstone you've been searching for in the outfield. This could be your best center fielder since Carlos Beltran. Hell, he probably is. But until he can play 100 games in a season, I can throw all these advanced metrics at any fan, any analyst, any whatever. Everyone's going to come back and say, well, what are you going to, like, how can you bet on him? How can you possibly bet on him? This right now is the time that Brandon Nimmo is supposed to be talking about a contract extension. And he has indicated he'd be open to those talks. Of course he would. He wants that security, I'd imagine. And if you're the Mets, do you make that risk? Do you make that gamble? Do you say, look, the production is good enough that we're going to sign him to a four-year extension if it's at the right number, and we're going to keep him locked up into the future because we believe in this player and we believe that those injuries aren't going to continue moving forward. There's nothing in his medical history moving forward that concerns us. You just hope he doesn't get the finger injury or the neck injury. He doesn't pull a hamstring trying to lay out a double. Can you make that bet? I don't know if you can. I'm going to talk about it in just a minute. I want to go through Brandon Nimmo's future with the Mets. Is this a player who you trade, you hang on to, you let this play out, you extend? So many different ways the Mets can play it. We'll see what they do this offseason. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know there's so many delicious flavors of Built Bar that really there's something for everyone, whether it's the coconut bar, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, German chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, or my personal favorite, cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each and you can see which ones you like best. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calories, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So we always talk about how injury-prone Brandon Nimmo is, but I want to take a minute here to just go through his career and explain some of these injuries and whether they are things to be concerned about moving forward. You go to 2016. That's when he makes his debut, played 32 games for the Mets, played 97 games in AAA. You can't really quantify that as an injury-plagued year. 2017, he had a good chance to make that opening day roster, but he was playing the World Baseball Classic for Italy. Ends up having a pulled hamstring. That puts him on the injured list at the start of the year. He eventually gets healthy, but starts out in AAA. Then he makes his way onto the roster at the end of June. Has a great start, hit over 350 in his first 24 plate appearances, but suddenly what happens, gets hurt again. And that this time it was a collapsed lung that landed him on the injured list. Comes back, ultimately plays 69 games that year. Then you go into 2018, and he had his healthiest season. He played 140 games. That's always the year that everyone points to and says, that's what Nimmo could be. That was it. That was when he was playing at an all-star level for a full year. He led Major League Baseball in getting hit by pitches, but he hit 263, 404 on base percentage, 483 slugging, a 148 WRC plus. That is excellent. Even that year, though, he missed some time, I believe in August, where he missed a couple of weeks. So even in his healthiest of years, it was not free of a stint on the IL. 2019, worst year with injuries. As I said before, he had that neck injury. That really hurt him because he was just not himself in the beginning of the season, has that injury, ends up playing 69 games again. What would be the odds be that Brandon Nimmo would have 2 years in his career so far where he'd play exactly 69 games, but he only has 1 year where he's played over 100. So that season, you can basically throw it out because Brandon Nimmo just never was himself. And then when he was in September, as I've mentioned, he was great. You go to 2020, actually, in some respects, his healthiest of years because he only had to make it through a 60-game season and he played 55 of those 60 games. Then you have this year where he doesn't get to 100 again because of all of those injuries, 92 games played. Moving forward, you're in a really tough spot because, again, he is the only thing that you can, in some respects, count on when it comes to outfield production next year. Dominic Smith had a really bad year. I don't think he has any starting spot guaranteed. He's got to earn at-bats again going into next season. If he's still with the team, as the Mets could be making wholesale changes. JD Davis, I think the outfield experiment seems to be done. He played at third base all year this year. Don't think you're counting on him to be a starter out there. Jeff McNeil is maybe the most likely guy on the roster currently to be a starting outfielder next year, but that really hinges on what else they do this offseason. Who do they sign? Do they get Javier Baez? Do they shop for Carlos Correa? Are they going to just get Jonathan Villar to play the infield and scrap together something with him and Robinson Cano and Jeff McNeil being a starter at second or at third? I really don't know what the Mets' plans are, but Jeff McNeil, based on everyone that we know right now who's on the roster, he is the only starting caliber outfielder I see right now. So you have to address that this offseason some way, shape, or form. And as much as we want to talk about the potential of a Mark Fientos or a Brett Beatty in the minors, neither of them has proven to be an outfielder at this point. Beatty actually looks good at third base, so I don't think the Mets are going to move him off that position. I think Fientos, his real shot here is to be the Mets left fielder next year, but he's going to have to work a lot this offseason to get that glove ready. He's going to have to prove a lot in spring training. The point is, right now, Brandon Nimmo is the thing you can count on the most next year in the outfield, and you can't count on him to stay healthy. So that puts the Mets in a terrible spot as they try to address their team. Do they go for Starling Marte at 34? Do they go for Nick Castellanos, who's really a terrible outfielder himself? There's not a lot of good options on that market. Are you maybe going to keep tabs on Michael Conforto and bring him back? Early indications are that Conforto is going to go elsewhere. We'll see how that progresses throughout the offseason, but that is why he still makes a lot of sense for the Mets, because there's just not a lot of good options out there. But again, you get to this point where Brandon Nimmo is relied on heavily next year. And I'm not saying he can't be healthy. In fact, I really do think in some respects, the foregone conclusion that he'll never be healthy is just relying a little bit too much on emotions and frustration, as opposed to really looking at it from a macro perspective of what he's done year in, year out. As I just went through, yes, there's been injuries top to bottom throughout his career, but you know, 2016, that's not really an injury-plagued year. 2017, okay, it was a pulled hamstring. Are pulled hamstrings predictable in the future? I guess they could be. He has had that injury pop up the most. I guess that would be the one I'm most concerned with. But the neck has held up the last couple of years, so I'm no longer concerned about that. Again, he was healthy in 2018. He was healthy in 2020. It's a weird case for Brandon Nimmo. The finger injury this year, that's not really something to be concerned with moving forward. It's just the fact that he's been injury prone. That's what you are concerned about. But there is a chance that he can put together a healthy season. And honestly, I don't look at this elite athlete and I say the body's completely breaking down. He doesn't have a spinal stenosis diagnosis like David Wright did. It's just you're in such a difficult spot to try to predict these things. I think right now the Mets are going to operate this offseason as if Brandon Nimmo is going to be healthy and going to be their starting center fielder for 150 games next year. And we'll see what happens. But they're going to have to get an insurance policy out there. And maybe that is simply betting on Khalil Lee and thinking Khalil Lee, if anything breaks next year and Nimmo's not around, Khalil Lee had a good year in AAA. He'll be ready next season for the big leagues. And that is maybe the guy you look towards. He has a good chance of being a fourth outfielder if he has a good spring. So maybe that's your answer. But the Mets definitely have to add to this outfield. And when it comes to the future beyond this year, this could be, in some respects, the perfect time to talk Estenciu and Nimmo because you might get them on a great team-friendly deal. So I would not rule that out entirely. I would certainly have those conversations with his agent, see what they are thinking. If you can get Brandon Nimmo on a contract where you're not paying him in the high, you know, teens, if you're talking about Nimmo getting a four-year, $50 million contract, which is nothing, if that is what he would be willing to sign because he just wants that security with some incentives baked in or something like that, maybe even opt-outs so he could hit free agency after a healthy year, I don't know. I don't know how you sign him to a contract right now because of the concerns. I really don't. Because, again, if you're talking about paying him as a healthy player, that's a ridiculous contract for what his market should be. But everyone's got the same questions. So Brandon Nimmo's in a weird spot. The Mets are in a weird spot with Brandon Nimmo, and they got to find some way to cobble together an outfield next year, and he's supposed to be a big part of that. But when it comes to the 2021 season, considering the production in 92 games, if the Mets had a healthy Nimmo the whole year, I don't know where they could have been, but they certainly would have been a lot closer to the playoffs than they ended up being without him, and that is why this comes in at number 4 in our top 10 list of the biggest disappointments of the 2021 season. Hopefully next year, he's not on the same type of a list. That's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show, at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. On tomorrow's show, we're going to continue this series with number 3 of the most disappointing aspects of the Mets season, and that is Carlos Carrasco. The Mets traded for Carrasco. We thought they might have nabbed the perfect number 2 starter, Jacob DeGrom, and that did not end up being the case because of course, injuries. Now for your second lesson today, check out Locked On MLB as Sully has you covered for everything going on with playoff baseball this October. Follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.